Well, thank you all for sticking around for my talk. I hope that by the end of it, you all will be as excited about vermicompost or earthworm poop, as I like to call it, as I am. So I don't think I'll be letting the cat out of the bag if I tell you that the loss of arable land is one of the major challenges facing agriculture nowadays. And when I say loss of arable land, I don't only mean the quantity that it's being lost to urbanization, but also the quality of it that is being eroded or has been eroded by the conventional methods that we have used in agriculture up until now. And so because of that, and if you add to that the ever-increasing human population, which is expected to double in the next 50 years, you can see that that is an even more compounded problem. And so what that means is that we need to be able to produce more food to feed the population with less land. And we also need to take into consideration the environmental impacts of whatever practices we use in agriculture. And so that brings us to the need for sustainable agricultural systems, which means that we have to be able to produce more, minimizing the inputs. And this is something that I don't believe can be accomplished if we keep neglecting the health of the soil. So, and the reason I said that is because soil health, as many of you may know, has direct consequences on the nutritional physiology of plants and also on the plant resistance or susceptibility to pests, and of course the bottom line, which is overall productivity. So because of this renewed interest on environmentally friendly methods to production in agriculture, there has now been some research done comparing conventional agriculture systems with organic systems, in which they have found that plants that are fertilized using organic compost seem to have they seem to contain a more balanced nutrient load, and they also have a greater microbial population and faunal diversity, and they also seem somehow to sustain lower pest populations. However, the mechanisms for these are currently not known. One of the compost types that are used in organic agriculture are vermicompost, which are basically made by feeding organic wastes to earthworms. And these vermicompost have increased microbial activity compared to even other compost, and they have a more balanced nutritional load. And in recent studies, they have shown that plants that are grown in vermicompost amended soil seem to sustain lower populations of pests and sustain less damage by the pests. And this has been shown in a variety of economically important crops and to a variety of economically important pests. And again, the mechanisms for this is something that has not yet been investigated. And this is something that I am very much interested in. And so I decided to try and elucidate what the mechanisms behind this resistance may be by using the model plant Arabidopsis thaliana. And the reason I decided to choose this plant system is because there are a lot of molecular tools that are available for this system that can help us along the way. And I decided to use the very generally scorn earworm Helicobacter baziae, because this is a very important pest and is anything that we can find out that we can use to combat it, I think would be beneficial. So I decided to compare the effects of two different sources of vermicompost. The vermicomposts are made by the same species of earthworms and using food-based waste. One is the Oregon Soil Corporation vermicompost, which was the one that was used in the studies where they showed that plants that were grown in vermicompost amended soil had resistance to a variety of pests. And the other one is a local source of vermicompost in Raleigh that is provided by Red Hen Enterprises. I decided to use a 1-to-3 mixture of vermicompost to a commercial potting mix. And I used the commercial potting mix alone as a control. And I used third instar Helicobacter Pacea as the insects in the study. So the objectives of this particular study were to look at the effects of plants grown in vermicompost amended soil on the preference and performance of Helicobacter Pacea, and then compare and see if the responses by the insects were the same on the two different sources of vermicompost. So the first thing we did was a choice preference study in which we offered the caterpillars lift discs from the treatment plants and allowed them to feed on these discs for 24 hours and then determine how much they had consumed. And as you can see from this graph, when we had the control pair with the OSC vermicompost, there was a tendency for the caterpillars to eat less of the OSC vermicompost plants compared to the control. But this difference was not statistically significant. Whereas when we pair the control with the Raleigh vermicompost grown plants, you can see that there was a significant preference for the control plants over the Raleigh grown plants. And then when we had the two composts side by side, there really wasn't any preference for either one. So it seems like at least in the Raleigh vermicompost and maybe even in the OSC vermicompost grown plants, there may be a non-preference effect. Then we wanted to see the performance of the caterpillars on the treatment plants. And for that, we put third instar caterpillars and we isolated them to a single treatment and allowed them to feed and develop until they either died or they pupated. And at the end, we measured the survival. And as you can see from this graph, there was a 7% drop in survival in the Raleigh vermicompost and a 20% survival drop in the OSC vermicompost caterpillars. And then if you look at the time that it took for the caterpillars to develop, then you see that they took significantly longer on the Raleigh grown plants compared to the control and even the OSC. We also measure the weights of the pupae at the end. And even though, again, these differences are not significant, there was a tendency for the Raleigh plants, for the Raleigh caterpillars, the caterpillars that fed on Raleigh-grown plants, to weigh less than those on the controls or the OSC-grown plants. And the interesting thing is that even though, if you remember, they took longer to develop on the Raleigh-grown plants, they still did not weigh anymore. So that is important to note. And then the other interesting thing to note is that they took, the caterpillars ate twice as many plants of the Raleigh-grown plants compared to the controls, and 50% more of the plants grown on the OSC treatments. So, and even though they ate more, they did not actually weigh more. So, what we have found from this study then is that both sources of vermicompost induce resistance to Helicobacter Pacea in Arabidopsis thaliana, that in the Raleigh vermicompost, The plants showed anti-senosis as well as antibiotic effects on the caterpillars, and that resulted in a 7% reduction in survival, increased developmental time, and decreased weight. And in the OSG, there was a more acute effect that resulted in 20% reduction in the survival of the caterpillars. The weights of the pupae did not differ significantly, but the insects consumed significantly more plants to be able to reach pupations when they were fed vermicompost-grown plants. So I really believe that if we are able to provide quality control standards, then vermicompost can be a valuable production aid, and that can help minimize the need for synthetic fertilizers and pesticides in agriculture. Now, if your interest is piqued, now that you've seen my talk, I would like to encourage you to visit Amos Gray's poster tomorrow, and he'll tell you a little bit more about the studies that we're conducting on this subject. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Yes.
What do you think about why this happens in vermicompost, not in potting soil? I mean, the difference in the larvae survival.
Well, I think I don't have a clear answer for that. That's actually where my research is heading, is trying to find what the factors even within the plant, like the biochemical factors within the plants may be, and even the factors within the vermicompost that may be inducing this resistance in the plants. I don't have an answer, but I hope to have an answer in the future for you. All I can do right now is speculate that it may have something to do with the microbial load, or even I'm thinking that maybe not so much the nutritional composition, because there has been a lot of studies done looking at different nutritional levels in plants and even compost amended soils, and nothing has been shown in terms of that being able to confer resistance to plants to insects.